This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 114. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, everything you can think of in between, a little sci-fi on the side, you can expect the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world to join us here on the show. Plus, we might have some other special guests to have in along the way. Let's start off with my own update. Huntress Cadet Book 5 is in to the editor. It is scheduled to release on July 8th, and I'm super excited to be getting it out to everybody and into the readers' hands. I've already started plotting the next book in that series, Huntress Defender, and I'm excited because there's a lot of threads from the earlier stories that I'm going to be tying up in this sixth book, and I'm really looking forward to digging into starting to write on that next week. If you haven't picked up the first book in the series, now's the time to do that. You can check out the entire series over on Amazon, starting with book one, Huntress Initiate. You can always check out more information on everything I'm up to by checking out the fan group I have started over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. We talk about all sorts of fantasy books and movies there, so stop by and join us. You can also catch up with me over at my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. Either way, I look forward to hearing from you. I respond to all the comments, so please reach out if you have any questions or just want to chat. In this episode, speaking of chatting, I get to chat with author Kelly Blanchard, who comes on the show again. Kelly recently released the first three books in her Chronicles of Lorik series as a boxed set, and she's moving on to write with the team at Fallbrant Press. So we talk with Kelly about this move and her writing, what she's got next on the table. So check that out with our next episode where we talk about her books, writing alongside her husband, and what she has planned for her next project. All that's coming up here on this interview. Hi, Kelly. It's great to have you back on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Welcome back to the show, I guess.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be back.
So I know there might be some people who haven't heard your other episode from like almost a year ago, I guess. So why don't you give us a quick introduction of who you are and what kind of things you write?
Okay, I'm Kelly Blanchard. I am the author of Chronicles of Lorik. It is a fantasy sci-fi blend. And it's basically just about a sorcerer prince who, his name is Lorik, and it's very hard to summarize the entire series, but it's basically about him who he's trying to protect those he cares about because there's a war on the horizon, there are things that are happening, and he's been accused of many crimes, and he says he's innocent, but people don't believe him. So he's trying to clear his name while trying to help people as the war is coming, and things keep going wrong, and he keeps getting blamed for it, and he's trying to just catch all the falling pieces, but things still keep going wrong, and everybody thinks he's a really bad person, and there comes a point where he's like, okay, you know, if everyone thinks I'm this bad person, I might as well, you know, should I become that person? Because it'd be easier for me to do everything that they think I'm doing, because no matter what good I do, you know, bad things still happen. So that's basically what the series is about, him just struggling with all that and lots of other things that's hard to talk about. It's hard to summarize. But yeah, so that's just a basic idea.
Yeah, I get that. It's hard to like, especially something as sweeping and epic as what you've written here. And it's just kind of exciting. But I noticed as I was looking, at the time we were recording this, your new box set, which is basically the three books released in one package, is available on Amazon right now, and it is killing it. Inside the top 5,000 in the U.S. store. Top 20 in a bunch of great categories, fantasy categories. It's pretty awesome to see how well you're doing with this series right now and this box set. People are just screaming about it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have done it without Fulbright, my publisher. You know, they're the ones that are really pushing the marketing aspect of things because, you know, because I had published it beforehand before going with Fulbright. So I had unpublished it and then republished it with them. And they know how to market things. And it's amazing to watch. And it's just, it's a huge weight off of my shoulders because I don't have to worry about that. So, but yeah, it's awesome to see more people getting so excited about the series and reading it and so forth.
Talk a little bit about the move from being an indie and moving into a small press like Fulbright. You know, we both know Michael Levin and Jeff, you know, Kohanic, mm-hmm. who are working with that project. And it's really great to see everybody in that, between you and them and everybody else succeeding with this project, mm-hmm. and with this new press.
Yeah, Fulbright was created from because they wanted to help authors who, especially those who were self-published but weren't doing really well, but had great material, like had great covers, had great stories, and, you know, had a great persona, but just couldn't kill the marketing aspect of it, you know, because you may not have funds or you may not have the know-how. And those are things that you just, it takes a lot for one person to figure out. It's just a lot. And so, I know that, you know, as a self-publisher, self-published author, you know, I was actually, they approached me asking me if I wanted to sign on with them. And at first I was like, no, I want to be a self-published author because I want to do it myself. But then I was really thinking about it. I was like, you know what? They have the funds. They have the know-how. I don't have anything to lose. And so why not? Let's see what happens. And so I decided to do it. And they have, you know, the box says the first thing of mine they've released. So, you know, the fact that it's so high in the ranking on Amazon is just, you know, testament to how well that they do at their job. And I totally am so glad I agreed to it because now I could just focus on writing and engaging my readers and so forth. And I don't have to think about all that, you know, spending the money and all the promotions, all that stuff. I just, you know, I do interviews and I do, I engage with the readers and I write and I don't have to worry about everything else. And that's just the best part of it.
Now this series, the Chronicles of Lorik series, there are lots of books. In fact, book 9 is coming out, later in a few months. Book 4 just came out.
Just
recently, but you've got a whole bunch of books coming out in rapid succession, correct?
Yes, because I had previously published all 9 books. Like I published book 9 by myself in January of this year, but then Fulbright contacted me, and so I had to take everything off. And then one of my conditions was, I was like, I do not want to have to wait a year or so to get all my books out again. I want to get it out, you know, because I have a lot more other series that I want to publish. And so so they said, no, it's okay, by the end of summer all your books are going to be out again. I was like, oh, okay. so yeah, hopefully by the end of the summer or so, we'll have all the books, or maybe by the end of the year at the very latest, all the books should be out again. So
are you continuing this series beyond that book, or is it going to be, you know, how many books are planned in this series, and what do you have coming up next?
Well, The Chronicles of Lorik is only 9 books. That series is wrapped up, but I write multiple series, but it's all in the same universe. And I already have another 5-book series written that's going to be published right after The Chronicles of Lorik. It takes place about 50 to 40 years before The Chronicles of Lorik. It's actually a series I co-wrote with my husband. So that's already done. And then I have a trilogy that takes place about 2 years after that series, same universe. And then currently I'm writing another series with my husband, same universe, but it takes place a few years after The Chronicles of Lorik. So, I mean, there's a lot of I do have ends to the series, like a length, in length, but I constantly have all new series ideas that pop up in my head because of how expansive my universe is. And it's almost fun to play with. So I just keep writing and exploring different aspects of it.
Talk about a little bit with us about what it's like writing with your husband. You know, my wife is my like number one alpha reader. You know, she's the person that I bounce a lot of story ideas off of. She gets to look at stuff before it goes to anybody else. But we don't write together. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, Matthew and I actually met in a writing group online. Both of us loved writing, and even though he was an EMT and everything like that, and he loves my book. So like you, I have my husband who reads my stuff before anybody else gets to, and he's my brainstorming partner and everything like that. So he's really, really, really in tune with my universe. So we had always wanted to co-write, and he had an idea for a story, and once he introduced it to me, I was like, oh, you know what? We can actually do that in my universe and on a different continent. And then it just morphed from there. And he has a set of characters. I have a set of characters. We know what the entire series, what's going to happen in the entire series. We know basically how long the series will be, how many books. And then we just focus on each book. And we have like our own set of characters. There are some characters we might share depending on the scene. And so what we do is we take the book, we determine what's going to happen in that book. And then it's, you know, a basic outline. We don't really do strict outline. We just do a basic, you know, skeleton outline. And then we finally get to the scene that we have to write. And one of us will start the scene. If it's my character entering the room, I will start the scene and I will have my character show from that character's point of view. And then the character runs into Matthew's character and then they have a conversation. We know what needs to happen in that scene. We know what the point of that scene is. We just don't know how it's going to happen. And we don't know exactly what the characters are going to say or how they're going to respond to one another. We have a general idea, but we don't really know. So we just we bounce back and forth. And it's so much fun. And it's awesome because you can do it, you know, long distance or whatever. I mean, I have done it when he would be walking and like when he has a few seconds to spare, he'll on his phone and he'll type me a response so I can reply to his. So we can just throughout the day, you know, write. But when he's home, we just sit down and we just write as much as we can. And it's super addictive. And sometimes you don't want to do anything else but that because it's so fun because it's so organic and it's, you're in the moment and it's just a lot of fun. And we tend to write like 10,000 words a day when we are not doing anything else, when we just sit down and write. But yeah, so that's how we do it. And our styles, different writing styles really blend very, very well. And it's awesome to do.
That sounds very exciting. And like you said, that dynamic back and forth, I think that's the first time I've talked to somebody that has a collaborator that writes that back and forth immediately. I mean, you know, like everybody will write, like I'll write the chapters for this character's point of view and I'll write the other person will write the characters for another character's point of view. And they'll pass them back and forth to make sure the voice is right. But they don't. I love the idea of having almost a conversational approach to writing the story, which just fascinates me.
Yeah, it is so much fun. I used to interview authors and characters, actually. I would go visit into their fictional world, and I would sit down and have a conversation with them. It's all written in third person. And it was just like that. You would, and have the back and forth, and it's a conversation, and it is super addictive. I say it's addictive because I've had people, I would interview their character, and then they were like, hey, can we just continue the scene? And I really want to keep writing. I'm like, okay, yeah, why not? Let's just do it. And they would just, it's just back and forth. And the fun thing about it is, one, like I said, it could be long distance, which is a big factor for lots of people, but you can literally do it all day and still get stuff done because, you know, I would text, I'll say if I'm texting Matthew and he's at work or something like that, I'll text him something or like, you know, or messenger it or email, one of the two. And then I would send it to him and I'll go do something like wash the dishes and he's working. And when he has a second to see it, he'll reply. And then I'll see it, I'll reply and I'll get back to work, you know? And so we could do it all day and then bring it all together, copy paste that into a document and you got like 5,000 or 10,000 words. And it's just so much fun.
Now, it's interesting. You mentioned kind of in our back and forth prepping for this thing that you're in the middle of a move and you're finding elements for like your stories and your universe that you had forgotten about when you were originally putting all this together.
have you found anything surprising? Have you found things that you forgot about and either, I don't want to say left out because the story is the story, but find things that are like happy surprises that you can't wait to throw back into the mix?
Well, I know that I found a map that I had drawn and I didn't realize, I mean, this that I had forgotten about that there was this whole empire that's, you know, existent, supposed to be existent, that's like no longer there anymore. So I'm like, okay, well, that might come up, you know, in the future or like way in the past. That's the fun thing about how I write my stories is since with each series, it can be in the future, you know, because Chronicles of Lorik is kind of like a center point, and then I have series that might be before or after that. And so if I wanted to include something that I didn't include because I kind of forgot about it, I could just throw it into one of the other series and it'll be fine. And what I found was interesting, I found the original map I had drawn of the continent of the Chronicles of Lorik. And in it, I'm trying to think, I have 1, 2, 3... I had only 5 continents and 5 kingdoms. But if you look at my series, I have 6. And because I had forgotten about one of the kingdoms, so I completely didn't draw it. When I drew the map, I just completely left it out. And thankfully, of course, when I did have a map, you know, professionally drawn for it, I knew that kingdom was there, so I was able to include it. But in the original sketches, it did not exist. So it's been fun. I'm like, oh, wow, this stuff has morphed really interesting now. So...
it's interesting to look at how our stories change and meld over time. I know I got a question from a listener via email or listener reader. Actually, they are a listener because they listen to the audiobooks for one of my series. And they were asking if 2 of my series were in the same universe. And unlike you, I haven't done that. Like my series are often in very different worlds, maybe similar in some ways. But I had actually considered writing one series in the same universe as another series. And I actually set up in the beginning, the original draft of the outline for that this was going to be a near future of another series. And so it's funny that they picked up on that because of the similarities of the world and the characters and things. But it's funny to see how these things kind of morph together and stuff that you start thinking about and maybe you change your mind, you add another kingdom, you forget about a whole, you know, empire or whatever. But it's still there and still could pop up.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. And if you ever get the chance to, you know, write a different series in the same universe, do it. Because especially if you can have characters from the other series pop up in that series, it's just so much fun because readers get to see them like, oh, I know that person.
Awesome. So you said you've got all these other ideas. What is the biggest challenge? Do you have a problem coming up with like the next series or another idea, or is there things flying into your head all the time?
Every time I write a new series, I come up with 2 or 3 other series ideas. The hardest thing I have is the fact that I can't write them all right now. I have like 5 or 6 series in my head already that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to it. So I have to, you know, take note of it somewhere and then just stash it away because I know what my other series are planned. So, but yeah, it's not difficult to come up. And thankfully, I don't have... you know, ideas come to me like every single day. It's just a random thing here or there, you know, on occasion. I was like, oh, that would be an interesting thing for a story. And it fits into my series and so forth. And it's just really cool. So that's what happens.
Yeah, it's just people ask me and I say, well, I have a spreadsheet with story ideas in it back on my computer. And they kind of look at me funny. And I'm like, if I don't write it down, I'll forget. And I don't know if you have that problem, but I have like notes on my phone and stuff I write down and leave on my desk. Just, you know, ideas pop into my head all the time. And I don't want to lose them either because they're going to be part of an existing story or series, or if they might be morphing into something entirely of their own devise. So it's interesting to see how we come up with all that stuff.
Yeah, it's you never know where the ideas are going to come from. I had something the other day that popped up in my head. I was like, so I told my alpha readers the idea, you know, the basic idea. That way I can remember it too. And they're like, oh, I really want to see you write the story. I was like, I know, but I can't. I have 4 other series I have to write first.
And that's what's so hard. my problem isn't like you say, it isn't that I don't have enough ideas to write. It's that I don't have the time in my lifespan to write all the ideas I have. I mean, I feel bad. Like there's going to be ideas that someday will be left unwritten because I just can't do them all. Right.
Yeah. That's really sad to think about.
Do you, so working with your husband, is he still working right now, or is he collaborating with you full time? How's that going?
Well, right now with the whole quarantine thing, you know, he was, furloughed, I guess it said, and then we are moving to Florida now. So he had to quit his job, and, in like a week's time or so, we're going to make the drive to Florida and move and see what happens. And so right now, you know, he's working with me full time just because he doesn't have a job. And, but he is hoping to, you know, get work outside the house. And that's my stuff starts, you know, becoming very successful, and he is to have to do that, then yeah, he'll stay home and he'll co-write with me full time and everything.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to just think about, you know, the different ways that our families support us and help us out, whether it's through collaboration or just reading our stories and giving us input on ideas, being a sounding board. But you know, it is a group effort for so many of us, especially indie authors who really are running small businesses. And even though you're working with Fallbrand, you know, you're still running, you know, your Facebook group and keeping in contact with your readers, like you said. Tell us a little bit about your Facebook group and how you've grown that and what it's become for you.
Yesterday I had a 5-hour event with absolutely no break, and that was insane, but it was so much fun. I just have so much interaction with my readers. For the most part, you know, it's not, you know, the loudest group or anything like that. For the most part, I'd share a lot of beautiful pictures that I come across on Facebook, because I never know because a lot of people are writers in that group, and because writers are readers, so I never know if some picture I share might be an idea for a story or might be like exactly what they imagine for a character. So I share all these, and people really enjoy that. And of course, I post about my you know, writing adventures and stuff like that. And so yesterday I had a big event because Book 4 was just released, and so we play lots of games. I showed everybody some character cards so they could put faces to the names of characters. And it was a blast. So I'm most active in that group. And if anybody ever wants to get in touch with me, that's where they can find me, because that's just where I'm active. So.
Yeah. And I urge people, I'm actually a member of that group, and I enjoy seeing all the pictures and images you post there, and they do spark ideas. You really have a knack for finding really unique imagery of different fantasy concepts, and it's really amazing to kind of see all the stuff that you find and dig up for that. But people should look it up. It's called The Muses Realm, and it's on Facebook. It's Kelly's fan group, and I can't say enough about it. You're super active, really easy to reach out to, and I think people might really enjoy being part of this this group that you have formed and kind of cultivated, really, over on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, for me. I mean, it is mainly my fan group. But if anybody, you know, wanted to join it and had questions about writing or something like that, you know, always welcome to post or contact me, because I know what it's like to, like, not know, you know, the ropes and not know anything. And I don't like that for other people. So I always encourage people, like, yeah, if you have a question about writing or about, you know, okay, so you finished your book, what do you do now? You know, so forth, or you're trying to publish or whatever. I encourage people to contact me, because if I don't know the answer, I might know somebody who does, and I could put people in touch with each other. And so that's another aspect of the group that I do like. So.
Well, Kelly, it's always awesome touching base with you. I urge people to go out and pick up the Chronicles of Lorik first 3 book box set. Like Kelly said, all 9 of these books are going to be released by the end of the summer, which is exciting. They're already up with pre-order dates and everything, so that you can go and get them. and I urge you to do so. I've read book one. I haven't read the other two, but I'm going to dig in back into the series. My to-be-read list is huge, but it's engaging. It's fun. It's epic in all the right ways, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy checking it out. And then join the fan group and get over there and chat with Kelly about how much you liked it and what you're looking forward to next. Kelly, it's been great having you on the show. I hope folks will come out and check out your stuff.
Thank you so much. It was lots of fun.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focus community over on Facebook and, of course, over at the website fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment when you're over there on this episode. Let me know what you have on your mind. Also, while you're over on the website, don't forget you can subscribe to the show. So when you're on a podcast episode post, just look for the links to subscribe and get lined up on your own favorite mobile app for iOS, Android. You can even subscribe by email if you want. We have some great authors coming up over the next few months. Our next episode will feature the awesome Katie Cherry returning to the show, and you definitely won't want to miss that one. That's it for this episode on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook on my fan group, Fun Fantasy Readers, or in my Facebook author page at Jamie Davis Books, and of course my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. And while you're over there, you can actually get a free book if you want to check out something I've written. There's a free book available. Just sign up for the newsletter over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe to this show and come back for the next podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget to keep your eyes open, folks, because, hey, there's magic all around you.